ask Brother Ron Miller to give the opening prayer on the convention. Brother Ron.
Now, our gracious, all-wise, loving Heavenly Father, we come before thy hallowed throne of grace, at this gateway of thy blessings to be poured upon each heart here. We pray, dear Father, that you would continue with those hearts bowed before you. We look with humble adoration at thy lessons unfolding, and we understand, dear Father, that there are blessings to be had at this dear brother's labors on our behalf, and we pray that you would continue to be with him as he would bring these forth in his wonderful words, words that you've given him, and words that we need for us. Now, Father, we ask for thy strength and thy courage to continue with us because of thy loving kindness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ron, Sister Rosemary. One more announcement. For those of you that would like MP3s on a CD from Brother Lawrence, we have sign-up sheets in the back corner with envelopes. So please use one of these, fill it out, and you'll get a copy of the audio from the convention. As well, of course, as we post the audio up on our website. Well, this is the part where you get to listen to me for a little while. And it's my privilege to offer a warm welcome to you on behalf of our ecclesia, the North Seattle Bible Students. 2015. Who would have thunk it? Well, time goes by, but we offer you warm greetings in the name of our reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray and trust that the Lord will provide a bountiful blessing to those attending and those that serve. Once again, we have a pre-memorial convention where our hearts and minds are focused on emulating His great sacrifice on our behalf and renewing our consecration efforts to be obedient to our vows. This year we have the same month and day timing for the memorial as the week our Lord partook of the Passover and instituted the memorial, Thursday, April 2nd, after sunset. While not important relative to the remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice, it is interesting to consider. As part of the welcome, we would like to consider the theme text for the convention, which is from Psalms chapter 89, verse 14, American Standard Version. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thy face. During the symposium tomorrow, we will be considering divine justice and love working together, Old and New Testament examples. May we learn to apply these examples more and more to our own walk. We are living in a time where the wisdom of the wise has perished. For many years, the leadership of this country has been active in removing God's principles of justice and love from society. This has accelerated the degradation of society into godlessness and immorality. What a wonderful contrast it is when we consider such leaders as Joseph, Joshua, Moses, and Gideon. God has sent us messengers to help us understand His plan. What a blessing it is to live in a time where the meat in due season has been provided to offset this hour of temptation. Well, it's a privilege to be living in this overlapping period or harvest period of two ages, the end of the gospel age and the ushering in of the millennial age. Out with the old, in with the new. It is of great interest to us to watch the processes going on as the fulfillment of prophecy. Our Lord and the risen saints are very busy and very productive. We see the time of trouble in operation. From Volume 1, page 308, quote, God has established certain laws in harmony with which He operates, and those who from any cause come into conflict with these reap the penalty or wrath of their own course. God's counsel to mankind has been continually rejected, except by the few, and as we have shown, he permitted them to have their own way and to drop him and his counsels from their hearts. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, unquote. This permitted evil that mankind brings upon themselves is for a purpose. Volume 1, page 310, quote, until all have opportunity to learn the superior benefits of the rule of righteousness and love as compared with that of selfishness and might, unquote. We also quote from the fourth volume, Study 1, The Day of Vengeance, pages 13 and 14. It is not our purpose in calling attention to this subject to arouse a mere sensation or to seek to gratify idle curiosity, nor can we hope to produce that penitence in the hearts of men which would work a change in the present social, political, and religious order of society, and thus avert the impending calamity. The approaching trouble is inevitable. The powerful causes are all at work, and no human power is able to arrest their operation and progress towards the certain end. The effects must follow as the Lord foresaw and foretold. No hand but the hand of God could stay the progress of the present current of events, and his hand will not do so until the bitter experiences of this conflict shall have sealed their instruction upon the hearts of men. The main object of this volume is not, therefore, to enlighten the world, which can appreciate only the logic of events and will have no other, but to forewarn, forearm, comfort, encourage, and strengthen the household of faith, so that they may not be dismayed, but may be in full harmony and sympathy with even the severest measures of divine discipline in the chastening of the world, seeing by faith the glorious outcome in the precious fruits of righteousness and enduring peace, unquote. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Yes, we need to make ourselves ready for the wedding, dear brethren. We need to encourage each other by holding up the banner of present truth as presented by the seventh messenger. Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And from Isaiah 52, verses 6 to 8, American Standard. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in the day I am the one who is speaking, here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Are we rejoicing? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We must not only read and hear the prophecy, but we must obey the instructions given. We must apply what we learn of God's character and mind to ourselves. To have the blessing of revelation, we must remain faithful to his words. The time is at hand. Psalm chapter 45, verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hateth wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The signs of this new day are all around us. We see them in advance of the world. What a blessing this is to us. How it should increase our faith. What manner of people ought we to be? Let us read about some things we are to remember. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 to 10 and 19 to 22 from the Diaglot. Among whom also We all once lived in the desires of the flesh, performing the wishes of the flesh and of the thoughts, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. But God, being rich in mercy, on account of his great love with which he has loved us, we also being dead in offenses, he made alive together by the Anointed One. By favor you have been saved. And raised us up together, and seated us in the heavenlies by Christ Jesus, in order that we might exhibit, in those ages which are approaching, the surpassing wealth of his favor, by kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By that favor indeed you have been saved, through the faith, and this is not from you, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one may boast, for we are his work, having been formed in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God before prepared us, that we might walk in them. And 19-22, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and of the family of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the foundation, chief cornerstone of it, on which all the building being fitly compacted together increases into a holy temple of the Lord, on whom you are also built up together for a spiritual habitation of God. I trust we have all been considering what the Lord has done for us, and that we have swept the leaven from our lives and have renewed our consecration vows to be broken and poured out with him. We are to remember that those that appear strong need our encouragement and support as well. We hope and pray that the convention will be an oasis in the desert to all attending, a steady ship with a sure anchor in the midst of a storm. All around us, we see the processes of removing the social, political, ecclesiastical, and financial institutions. All nations have turned against Israel. It is indeed a strange and wonderful time we live in, the time of trouble. The plagues are doing their intended work. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we pray for the destruction of the old order. As the Lord's great army marches on, let us remember how important our good fight of faith is to the blessing of mankind. The world is learning many great and hard lessons to prepare them for the kingdom of God. The world groans and waits for us, dear brethren. Be diligent. Be about the Father's business. Remember our part in the sin offering. Be strong in good courage. Show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember also that decorum in the house of God is important and a mark of one's character development. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." And everyone did a good job of this, but if possible, always be in your seat ahead of time for meeting. Leave foolishness elsewhere, be considerate of the rights of others. If you have children, watch them. Please remove them if they get unruly. Are we not overwhelmed with what the Lord has done for us? He hath opened the secret places, grafted us into the vine, sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Press on, dear brethren, with patient, joyful endurance, that his countenance will shine through you. Bear in mind the nobility of our calling, dear brethren. Let us sing, "Oh, let no earth-born cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes." We are to remember the glory to follow when we shall see him as he is. Let us each realize the importance of building each other up in this most holy faith. Let us all be of the spirit of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where it says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And again, welcome. The convention is made up of his members. Let our communion be sweet and our examples be of Christ. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Well, the carcass is here and we are gathered. The Lord has set the table for us. It is our responsibility to assimilate the food and apply it to action. Rejoice in the precious promises and welcome to the convention.